From crash diets to fad diets, injections and pills, the weight loss industry is a cash machine, but it is all temporary because once you stop, most people gain the weight back plus a little extra. Imagine all that time and money and you're still left hiding your body under baggy clothes or turning the lights off when you're with your significant other because you're shy or embarrassed about your body. Well, Sono Bello can help you change the way you look at yourself. In one visit, you will see the difference in your tummy, side, thighs, arms, or wherever you have stubborn fat. You guys know me. I let you guys know when I get stuff done. I absolutely do not see anything wrong with getting a little bit of laser lipo done. I had it done right before the Grammys and it smoothed my hips for my dress. And let me tell you, I will do it again and again and again. Schedule your free consultation and learn all about microlaser fat removal. Give yourself the gift of a full body reset. You deserve to be happy. Sono Bello is running a great special right now. Visit SonoBello.com/bunny, B-U-N-N-I-E. That's SonoBello, SonoBello.com/bunny. If I had to think of a time I personally smelled my worst, it would have to be after one of Jay's concerts, an outside concert at that. My right armpit was ripe for the pickings, smelled like beef stroganoff. I kid you not, it was rancid. As a special offer, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at LumiDeodorant.com. And that's LumiDeodorant.com. I personally freaking love Lumi. I have every scent. My favorite one is the toasted coconut, though, because even when you sweat, it still smells so good and so yummy, and you feel like you're on a tropical island. But I promise you guys, any sort of smells you could possibly have, Lumi will cover it up. Once again, as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at LumiDeodorant.com. What's up, guys? Don't forget to sub to Patreon so that you can see the visuals. Because not only do we have episodes of the podcast, we have exclusive content that nobody else sees on any other apps, behind the scenes, photo shoots, and we're dropping a whole bunch of surprising stuff this year. So if you guys don't want to miss out and you want to be the first to know, go over to our Patreon, www.dumbblondeunrated.com. Love ya. Is this thing on?
All right, gentlemen, coming to main stage next, this is Bunny. Get up there. She's got a tornado of titties coming your way. Get those dollar bills ready. She's got an ass that shakes like Michael J. Fox. So get up there and throw them dollars.
Dude, that is fucking iconic.
What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? I've got Priscilla Block in the house, baby, finally.
I know, finally. We've been like trying to make this happen and, you know, life's busy.
No, bitch, you are busy, okay? It's crazy. Like, I thought my husband was busy. You're always busy. Like, are you touring right now? Like, what is...
I'm kind of doing it all. Yeah. Today is like my off day and I've written today. I'm doing this podcast
doing two
podcasts today. It's weird. Like, my off days are just trying to stay in the Nashville thing, you know? It's been wild.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about it. When's your birthday?
August 10th.
Oh, you're a Leo. No yes. wonder you and Dems get along.
Wait, what are you?
Two of you Leos. Capricorn, Aquarius. I'm okay. On the cusp. January 22nd. My husband is a Sag. So let's take it all the way back because somebody told me, I forget who it was. I think it was Krista, our stylist.
Yeah. Yes. We share a stylist. We do share a stylist.
She was telling me that you have a huge family.
Yes.
So let's bring it all the way back. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in North Carolina. And huge family, just like a very like dysfunctional functioning family.
The fun and functional, dysfunctional.
Yes, it's like chaos all the time. It's kind of crazy. Like my parents, I feel like they were never supposed to be together, but they were in a way. You know, like my dad grew up Jewish. And he was this cowboy from Kansas, used to ride the rodeo, just like...
What a crazy fucking combination.
Yes, crazy.
Crazy and cowboy Jew.
Crazy cowboy Jew. And my mom grew up Mormon.
Wow.
And so like two totally different people. And then, you know, my dad ended up like trying to get his life back together, and him and my mom.
When you say try to get his life back together, was he like a rodeo guy?
Yeah, he was just like, just fucking, he's a rodeo, you know, it, just wild. Yeah,
you
wild
have to guy. Be in a certain frame of mind to be a rodeo man.
Yeah,
like was he riding bulls?
Yes.
Like, oh, okay,
yeah,
crazy. Yeah, you gotta be a crazy motherfucker to want to get on the back of a bull every day.
Yeah. Hey, I thought it was in my blood, and then once I decided to ride a bull, it's somewhere out on the internet, and it failed epically. So I was like, it's not in the blood.
I'm going to go Google and find it.
But yeah, so they met. My dad ended up going to Bible college.
Aww,
and yeah. And
that's crazy.
He met my mom. And the second time he saw her, he proposed.
So did he go to a Mormon Bible college?
No, like Christian Bible college.
Mom,
like,
was at a Christian Bible college?
So my mom, yeah, her family ended up kind of leaving the Mormon church when she was 18.
Okay.
And she kind of like found God and all of that, and then my parents met. Yeah, so kind of crazy again, like two people that probably would have never ended up being together were, and
yeah.
So they got married, and my parents were truck drivers for a while.
Aww.
Yeah, like crazy.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I am one of five kids.
Okay. Wow.
So yeah, so
five
big family.
Sisters, brothers.
So I've got three sisters and one brother.
Oh gosh, that poor little baby.
I know.
Is he older, younger?
Smack dab in the middle.
Wow.
So he always had like two older girls telling him what to do and two younger girls.
He's gonna grow up and make some woman very happy.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, we just had a crazy life, you know. My parents, I don't even know if they planned on having kids, and then they ended up with five.
Wow. That's love.
But yeah, it really was. And
were you always a musical family? Like, how did you get into music? Did you just come out of the womb singing fa la 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 la?
Basically. Like, yeah. I like came out of it was super loud. I was loud from the start.
Yeah, I found like with musicians, it's either you acquired it from like depression or addiction or something like that, or you came out of the womb just fucking ready to rock.
You know, so, and my parents, like, you know, them like finding God and, you know, figuring out what their faith was. My dad ended up starting a church.
Wow.
And I mean, it was super small. Like, we literally used to meet in a retirement home.
Aww.
And there was no one to do music, so he made me and my mom do music.
Ah.
So no band. I mean, we were karaokeing it at church. Like, it was great.
That.
And so it kind of like became this thing. Like, I never wanted to do it. Didn't want to get up and sing at church, but I did. And my mom had me in piano when I was young. Mm-hmm. And I never practiced. I was a terrible piano student. And she never, like, got mad at me about it. Like, mm-hmm. She was just like, Priscilla, like, that's fine. Like, maybe you should pick up guitar. And so we quit piano. And I found a guitar in my attic and picked it up and started watching YouTube videos and learning how to play.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
That is crazy.
Crazy.
I don't have the self-discipline to do that. Or the ear.
I don't know if it was just, like, I think it was just in my blood, like,
meant to be.
Yeah, to do music. And my mom, she can sing amazing. But yeah, I picked it up super easy, and I was playing like just a bunch of Taylor Swift songs, you
Aww.
Know. And then when I was 15, that's kind of when I started writing. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is so cool. Like,
therapeutic.
I can write my life. And at that time, like, I was experienced heartbreak for the first time. My family was just going through it, and that was my escape.
What
music.
Was going on with the family?
You know, so my parents were married for 32 years, and you kind of just see, like, they lived their life for us kids,
right?
And like, you slowly just kind of started seeing, like, dang, like, they've been married for so long, and they've kind of lost their relationship because Aww. We were the focus, you know.
Right.
My mom, she homeschooled us, and did everything. My dad worked any job to pay the bills, you know. It was just kind of like, I was almost out of high school, and I think the road was kind of ending for them. So mm-hmm. music was my peace and my diary. And yeah,
it was hurtful watching.
Did
they end up splitting?
They ended up splitting.
Aww.
But they have a really good relationship. It's weird. Like, they're people like are like, are your friend. Parents together or not? Because, you know, we still do family holidays together. And
I love that.
I think that, like, it's weird. They still call each other honey. Like,
yeah,
I want to write a song about that one day.
You
just
need
like
to.
And they still call each other honey.
Yeah, call
and
it honey.
you know, when it all happened, I had just moved out to Nashville, mm-hmm. and I had my mindset like I was going to move out here after high school.
Yeah.
And
you just had a yearning. You were like, Nashville's calling me.
I knew, like, when I started writing songs, I was like a big Taylor Swift fan. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what did she do? Like, how do I do this? I mean, at that time I was trying out for every show, just like anything, trying to make it. And I knew I needed to move to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so when I did, that was kind of when my parents, it all kind of went downhill. And, you know, it's weird. Like, every family dynamic's different. But for them, it was, you know, I think having all of us kids, we were like, listen, we're not doing the whole splitting up holidays. We can't. Mm-hmm. And my parents really, like, just put their differences aside and came together for us kids. Like, mm-hmm. they always have, you know?
I love that. That is, like, so cool to see people be able to co-parent, because there's yeah. so much opposite of that in the world that I just love hearing a cool co-parenting story, because yeah. it's so rare.
It's cool. And like, they've shown me that like love is so, it's, there's just so much to it, and layers. You can either choose to love or hate. And mm-hmm. I get that from my parents, and yeah. they are like amazing, and my whole family, they're just awesome.
I love that. Where's the name Priscilla come from?
Well, Priscilla Presley.
Oh, okay. So yeah. were you born with Priscilla? Was that your
yes.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah. No, it's no fake name.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom, you know, they loved Elvis, mm-hmm. and it's just so funny that I happened to do music. Yeah. You know?
It was just embedded in you.
Yeah.
From the start.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. So your parents were going through a divorce. You're going through your first heartbreak with yeah. that whole situation. You come to Nashville the Taylor Swift way.
Yes.
How old were you?
I was 18.
So 18.
I had my 18th birthday in Nashville.
Wow. Yeah. So you were like, fuck this, I'm leaving.
Fresh out of high school.
Wow.
Like, packed everything and moved.
Take me on that journey.
Yeah. So I moved out here. I had like a little Chevy Malibu that was like, I literally had like duct tape around my car.
Dude, they last forever.
You know, that thing lasted me for a good while. And so I moved out to Nashville, and I found some Craigslist roommates. Mm-hmm. And I moved.
Ooh, brave.
Yeah.
Very brave.
I mean, hey, I was just doing it.
You're still alive.
I am.
This was a different time though, yeah. right? Like, how long ago was this? How old are you?
I am 27.
Okay, yeah. So it was before the world got real weird.
Yeah.
Like, the world was already getting weird, but it was yeah. before, like, it was cut your skin off and wear it kind of weird.
It was definitely still weird. Yeah. But, so anyways, I went on Craigslist. I found some roommates and ended up moving to, I was living, like, near Sylvan Park. Mm-hmm. So very nice area in Nashville now.
Yeah. No, I know.
But it wasn't that yeah. when I moved there.
Jay and I used to live in West 46th. That was yeah. our first apartment. Yeah,
that's where I love lived. That. Yeah. yeah. So, you know, I just moved wherever I could afford. I think I was paying $500 a month for my one bedroom. And
that's great. In yeah. Nashville. Now, I don't think you could even find anything like that.
No.
Yeah.
No. So moved here. And I, you know, like, when I moved to Nashville, I didn't know anyone. Mm. I just took a leap of faith, and I was like, I believe in myself, and I believe that I can do this as a career.
Yeah.
So I came out here and just started working like every odd end job. I was nannying. I was like the dog walker in the neighborhood, you know, like all the things.
I love that you had work ethic instilled in you though.
Yeah.
You
well, know? I had to.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have financial support from anybody. Right. So it was like, all right, get to going. And I do think like, I learned that from my parents.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? Whatever you want, go get it. So I started doing it all. And I just kind of found myself like just lost in it all. Like I'm this young 18-year-old girl. I couldn't get into the bar. Like, where do you start?
Right.
Like, go to coffee shops, go to church. I'm like, yeah. I'm doing all the things. Like, where can I meet people? Yeah, like, I remember I called my parents. I was like, I'm going to church today. And they're like, oh, amazing. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go try to meet some people. But anyway, I started just working. And I was also going to community college at Nashville State.
I love it. I love the drive.
Yeah, and I think that, like, for whatever reason, like, at that point, I didn't fully believe in myself. Mm. Like, I was, like, halfway in, right? So I was like, you know, and a lot of people kind of was like, hey, make sure like you have a backup plan, you know? And so
I hate people like that.
Yeah.
Like, just go for the gusto, kid. That's what I tell. That's what we tell our kid.
Yeah. Like go like, for whatever what you want to do. Go be the best at it.
Yeah.
Like if you want to be a mailman, be the best damn mailman out
there.
Do
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So I started. So I'd work. I worked at this yogurt shop in Hillsborough Village, mm-hmm. Sweet Cece's. Mm-hmm. And so I'd work there from 9 to 5. And then I would go to class from 6 to 9. And I'm about a year into Nashville. It is just like not what I thought it was going to be. And so I called my sister that day and I was just crying. And I was like, dude, what am I doing out here? Aww. Like, this is hell. Like, I came out here to write songs and be a musician. I don't even know how to start. I'm drowning in work and school. And she was like, Priscilla, you know, if you come home, like, you didn't fail. Like, come back. And I kid you not, I cannot make up a story. I was leaving the yogurt shop, and I happened to be wearing a Taylor Swift t-shirt. Swear to God.
T Swift is very inspirational in your journey.
Insane.
Yeah.
I was leaving work that day that I talked to my sister, and she was driving by and saw me. And I'm standing on the street corner.
Taylor Swift was driving
Taylor
by?
Swift.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, my meltdown day, I'm leaving Nashville. What is this life? I'm walking out of work that day and happened to be wearing just one of her tour shirts. Mm-hmm. And she was driving by and saw me and pulled her car over.
Aww.
Yeah. And was like, hey, like, thanks for wearing my shirt. Like, I love that. And I'm just standing there like this. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And like she was an like, angel. Come over here. So we talked for a second. I did not even tell her that I did music. I was just like, thank you, God.
For the sign.
For the sign.
Mm-hmm.
And that day, I went to class. And I was like, I am quitting my job. I am quitting school. And I'm going to go figure out how to do this.
Fuck yeah. You got that fire
inside. Yeah, it was the fire. And it was everything that I needed. And I'm like not a super religious person, but I'm like really spiritual. And I mm-hmm. think that like that was everything that I needed. And that was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And I just, we're just like, whatever I got to do. Yeah. I mean, I was finding shit on the side of the road, selling it on Craigslist. Like, I mean, we were really counting the dollars out every month. And
so you quit school and you just decided to do music full time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So take me on that journey.
Well, I wouldn't say like, I mean, I was trying to do it full time again. Right. I was working like whatever I could, but right. I mean, I had a fake ID. I was going in any bar, introducing myself to anybody that I could, and
that would listen.
Anyone that would listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd listen to a bunch of podcasts and like people that started out in Nashville, and I heard someone say like, "Do not be afraid of walking up to anybody."
Yeah.
And I was fearless. Like truly, I mean. Whether it was the sound guy, like, hey, I would love to get a gig here. Or, you know, I'd sit down at Writer's Rounds in Nashville. And the first time I would watch, and then I'd figure out when they were playing somewhere else. And I'd be like, hey, I saw your show last week, and I'm a new songwriter in Nashville. Like, I would love to write with you.
Yeah.
And so it kind of just started that way. And Sarah Jones, she's been my roommate for a long time. And she's also from North Carolina, and it's just crazy. Like, our brothers grew up as friends. She's my guitar player now.
Mm-hmm.
And her brother had called me and was like, hey, my sister's moving to Nashville to do music. Like, y'all should connect. And at that time, I needed a roommate. I was trying to get out of the Craigslist roommates. You know what I mean?
How was it living with the Craigslist roommates?
Oh, my gosh. Like, it was crazy. Like, the first weekend I moved to Nashville, my house got broken into. Like, it was just like, it was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So me and Sarah Jones started writing together, and we lived out in Hermitage. Mm-hmm. And it was really like an empty apartment, and we would just sit down on the floor with our guitars and write.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really started small, and then it grew to, she was like, hey, like, what do you want? Like, what's your goal here? And I was like, I want to be an artist.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do that. And she was like, well, Priscilla, she was like, if you want to be an artist, you need to learn how to perform.
I love that.
And it was so perfect, you know? And I was like, really? And she
goes, she pushed you like that.
She did.
Because most people would be scared to say something like that, you know? That's a real friend.
Well, and I think that she wanted to know, like, she said, she was like, let me, she goes, put down your guitar and let me play guitar for you. Mm-hmm. And she really like wanted to see where I was at mentally. Like, okay, can I, is it smart for me to put more time into this? Right. If she doesn't really see it kind of going anywhere.
Right.
And I put my guitar down for a year and I just started learning how to perform. She would play guitar for me. And then we just started growing my band, like one by one by one.
Were you performing in bars by now mm-hmm. and like, you know, on Broadway?
So it started like a lot of writers arounds. Mm-hmm. So we, me and her would start singing the songs that we wrote.
Right.
And then we got our drummer and we were doing like the three piece thing. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, now we can hold our own in a bar. Mm. So we started kind of playing around. I actually like tried to stay off Broadway.
Yeah.
Just because I know like.
It's kind of gimmicky.
It's not even that. I just didn't want to get comfortable singing cover songs.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's right. Everyone on Broadway sings right. cover songs. Yeah. But I think it is easy to, because the money's really good down there, singing mm-hmm. covers that people want to hear.
Yeah.
So I was just doing a lot around town. We used to play at the bar outside of Bridgestone Arena every Friday night. Oh,
which one is that? That's
the Jack Daniels bar.
Yeah, okay.
So we play out there, and it was really cool because that became our favorite gig.
Right.
And we'd play there. They, like, started calling us to play before the people that were playing in Bridgestone.
Right.
And so like
it was building like a fan base there.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. Like I still have people that come out to the shows. They're like, we saw you at the Jack Daniels bar years ago.
Aww.
So our band started, you know, being created and then it was like just all of us, like we wanted it so bad. Like we started like rewriting my bio and it's so funny to look back, like anything to make me sound cooler and like a bigger deal. Listen, like we were doing.
Hold on. I just want to tell everybody we have all had to fake it till we make it. Yes. And I don't consider it being fake. I consider it manifesting.
Yes.
Because when you really believe in yourself and you put something like I even before the podcast was doing as amazing as it was, I would tell people I get 1 million downloads a month. And
yes,
they,
you do.
You, well, I do now. Yes. But when I was saying it back then, it wasn't happening, but I knew it was going to happen. So, you know, you doing that in your bio was a way of manifesting.
Yeah. No, and I'm all about that. Like we were like, she's been the pre-entertainment opening act for Luke Bryan, like Jason Aldean, and anybody that we played before, we yeah. put that in there. And
I love that.
And I, you know, we made a fake booking company. And like, I mean, I was Melanie Johnston reaching out on behalf of my artist, Priscilla Block, and would love to book her at your Georgia venue.
We've done all this, you know? Shit. Yep.
No. You just got
to
do it.
You have to, man. The only person that's going to believe in you as much as you believe is yourself. You
yeah.
know, like. In, or a friend that you happen to find. She's my Sarah Jones, so I totally understand
that. Oh, I love
that. Yeah, totally. So when was like the pinnacle of like, you were like, holy shit, the fucking snowball is rolling and this shit's really happening?
So right before the pandemic, I was just about paying all my bills by singing.
Yay.
And I was like, yay, like, oh my gosh, I had just moved to this apartment downtown. I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna do it. Like I've always like had the Craigslist roommates outside of town. Like I'm going in.
Yeah, I'm going and uptown, baby.
Yes. So I was still cleaning a lady's house and I was doing music. Mm-hmm. And then the pandemic hit. Mm. So like this was the point where I was like, I am crushing. Like for me, like if I can pay my bills doing what I love, like yes.
Yeah.
So anyways, the pandemic hit and 2020 was like the year, like okay,
sink or swim.
Like goop, burp, like it, yeah, either we're gonna sink or swim. Like yeah. There was no,
we all went through it.
Yeah.
We had to sit down and we had a family meeting where we were like, okay, what are we gonna do? You know, like it's either we turn up on fucking content, we can't go anywhere, we can't tour. So it's like, let's just become fucking online celebrities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. And that was the time that TikTok was brand new.
Yep.
And I, you know, I was like, what am I going to do? You know, maybe I just start singing. I mean, the only thing that you could do is content.
Yeah.
I couldn't play in the bars. I mean, what else was I going to do? So anyway, so I'm on TikTok and it's literally like the, I thought it was like this dancing app.
Same. I would not be on it. I rebuked it. Literally. I was like, fuck this. I'm not getting on this fucking kids app. You're not getting me on here.
Well, I did learn the WAP in my kitchen. Yeah. I learned the WAP.
Yeah, but you can do that. I am so uncoordinated. There's no dance moves that I'm going to be able to do. Oh my ever. God.
Well, I was like, maybe I just become a dancer. I don't know. I mean, like a terribly bad dancer that gets
Priscilla's
paid for
like,
it.
I don't give a fuck whatever I got to do to get paid. Yeah. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
I love it.
So I just started. There was like, I don't know when it was, but I decided I'm like, man, like I'm just going to throw up some original music on here and see what happens.
Yeah.
So I started having like little viral moments, I guess. Mm-hmm. And there really wasn't a lot of like original music on TikTok at this time.
Right.
Especially in country.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I, you know, things started growing and I would like look at my phone and I'm getting all these hundreds of messages from people. And it was like a light switch that went off. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to make this my full-time job.
All it takes is that one viral video. And mm-hmm. you're like, okay, how do I keep this fucking momentum going? And it's like, either you're a hustler or, and you do something with it or you don't. Like it's yeah. sink or swim, literally.
So I was posting like 20 videos a day, just like grinding in my apartment.
Yeah.
And by this point, I'm 4 months behind on my rent.
Oh no.
And yeah, like it's, it really, I mean, we have gone through the journey in Nashville, but it's fine.
Poor baby.
So I move out of my apartment and I move into this like little shack in Nashville. I didn't have AC. I had this like window unit by my bed.
Oh my God. Yeah. In Nashville, not having AC. I'd rather not have heat because then you could at least buy a heater. Bundle for like, well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You need
and
AC.
I'm a sweater. Like, let oh, me just, I don't, so I don't my listen. Husband. I just, yeah, like, no, yeah. me and Jelly. Yes. So I move into this like little house and as I'm moving out of my apartment, I am just like, screw it all. Like, my life is going to shit. And I go to the bar and I'm just like, well, I mean, what do I have to lose at this point? Run into my ex-boyfriend and I end up coming down with COVID not long. I probably shouldn't have gone to the bar, but hey.
Yeah.
I think the beer was worth it.
It's all right. I didn't go to any bars and I ended up with COVID 3 times. So well, you're good.
Yeah.
So at least you had a fun story to tell.
Exactly.
Forgetting it.
Yeah, whatever. So anyway, I went back home and Sarah Jones called me and I'm sicker than ever. No AC in my house. I'm like, you know, sweating with the COVID sweats. Yeah. And she called me and she was like, hey, we were supposed to write today. Did you want to still write? You know, what's up? And it literally took everything in me to not say no. And I was like, no, I'm going to write today.
Aww.
And I hopped on FaceTime and I wrote the song that completely changed my life that day.
Which was?
Just About Over You.
Mm.
And
this is about your ex, right?
Yeah. And if I would have never ran into him at the bar, if I would have never, you know, moved out of my apartment, had to do this FaceTime call, it all led me to that moment. And mm-hmm. it's insane looking back because I was at the lowest of lows and it brought like everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
the universe has a way of answering you even when you don't think they're listening. The universe is yeah. listening, you know?
And I heard that so many times, like right when you think that you're at your breaking point. And I tell this to people all the time. It's like so many people are going through so much shit, but like you literally might be around the corner tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And you just don't know.
The rain
and I
always
didn't know.
Brings the sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I decided to just post a clip of me singing it online. And that was my first very viral moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was singing in my car. I say, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I was singing in my car before everyone. Now everyone's singing in their cars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just started posting videos left and right. And there was this angel. Her name's Samantha. She was living out in California and basically started a like crowdfunding campaign for me to record the song.
Aww.
And like call to action on TikTok and was like, let's help Priscilla put this song out. And my heart, like I still, no one knew that I was like going through the hardest time in my life. I couldn't have gone in and recorded that song, you know?
Yeah.
And people all over, it just became this like internet storm and everyone was like, we need this song. How do we get it? Where is it at? When are you recording
yeah.
it? And literally like the fans made this happen for me. And it's so interesting you know, because I look back on the years that I've been in Nashville and I was begging for a deal. Mm-hmm. And
it's so political out here. People don't realize that about the music industry in Nashville. It is so political.
Yeah.
And so it is. You know,
and so when it kind of all happened, I'm calling every producer that I know. I'm like, who can get started on this? I need someone to start on this song now. I don't know what's happening. Like, I didn't have a team. It was like me and my best friends and, you know, my band. And we're all just like, I'm like, we need to release this as soon as we can. Mm-hmm. And within 3 weeks of writing it, I released it. Mm-hmm. And independently. And I was sitting, Sarah called me. Sarah Jones is the star of the show.
Shout out Sarah Jones.
Sarah Jones. She called me and was like, hey, have you seen the iTunes charts? And I was like, how do you find that?
Yeah.
Like, you're so me. Do people I don't know how to do buy that. Music anymore? Like, yeah. I don't know. And so I go and look at it, and it's just like, I mean, top 10, top 5, and then boom. It's like me, Nicki Minaj, Harry Styles, and like did I already say Billie Eilish? Yeah, it was me, Nicki Minaj, Billie Eilish, and
Harry Styles.
And I'm having messages, like, Nicki Minaj fans are trolling me. They're like, who is this bimbo? Like, take a seat.
There's some, the Barbs are mean.
Oh my gosh.
They don't play.
Oh no. They were coming for me. They were like, who is this girl? There's no, the bots girl. Like, yeah. 100% has bots, like, whatever. It was what it was. But, and then that's when all the labels started calling. Mm. Because
got
like.
Their attention.
Yeah, I mean, even I think at that time they weren't paying attention to the iTunes charts. Mm-mm. Because streaming's so big, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you forget that people buy music. And so for me, the leverage that I had going into these label meetings was I have fans.
Yeah.
I have fans. Mm-hmm. And that's why I am so thankful that this never happened sooner, because, you know, I think back in the day, like, the labels would sign you, they'd help brand you. And then rob help you get you. The fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm so anti-late. Even though my husband signed, I just have seen all the shit he's gone through in the fucking past, you know, since I've been with him for the past 7-8 years. That it's just, I'm so thankful that he signed with Broken Bow, because they're just amazing humans. Shout out Loba.
Yes.
Love you guys so much. But just, I've seen how the industry just chews up artists, you know, and spits them out and leaves them with nothing, you know.
I mean, I've seen it, and that's why I was so, when I went into these meetings, I knew that I had some leverage, mm-hmm. and I was confident.
Yep.
I was like, you know what, this is happening, and when was the last time you've seen an independent artist do this? Mm-hmm. And so it was awesome. I mean, people, like, it was great, but it was like the most terrifying moment of my life.
Absolutely.
Because you're scared of getting screwed over.
That change is scary too. You know,
having
people involved in your business that you've built is like very scary.
Yeah.
Having hands in something that is your baby.
Yeah. It was weird. Like, you feel on top of the world, but you're scared shitless. You're like, man, like, I hope that someone believes not only in a song, but in a career.
Absolutely. So did you end up signing?
So I ended up signing with Universal. Yay. And I'm so thankful for them. Mm-hmm. I think that it was the one meeting, you know, I had quite a few and was torn, but I really do feel like it was the meeting at that time that they really thought that there was way more than just a song.
I love that. And that, dude, hope.
Yeah,
it breathes so much life into decisions, because if somebody believes in you, that's all you need is to, you know, to just take off and spread your wings and fly.
Yeah. And it was cool when I signed, you know, I remember Cindy Mabe, she looked at me and she said, I want to tell you one thing. She said, if anyone at this label ever tries changing you, do not let them.
Yeah.
And just hearing that good comfort, advice. Like, hearing that come from a label head, you're like, good. because you don't want to be changed. Mm-mm. And what worked for me was me being me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Being the shit show, being the girl that sings about a broken heart or gaining weight. Like that is just who I am.
I think you actually have a really good head on your shoulders. You're very level headed. Let's talk about your image, because that's one of the one things that drew me into you was I love the body positivity. I love that you're not afraid to wear the short shorts. It's pretty much like fuck everybody to wear the bikini.
Yeah.
You know, like I think that's amazing. And I think little girls now really need that more than ever, because, you know, in my generation growing up, it was the fucking stick models. Yeah. It was like, you know, it was just eating disorders and fucking, you know, it was comparing yourself to people that you just were never going to be like, you know. And I think little girls having a role model like you right now is so special.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, of course. I struggled hard with my body growing up. Like, I mean, I was the little girl that was scared to go to the pool. I never went on spring break with my friends because I didn't love the way that I looked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's why I listen to all kinds of music.
Yeah.
But I love like so many rappers and like, you know, just like,
yeah.
And I think it was so kind of normal in the pop and rap world for girls to show off their body and be shaking their ass up on stage. Mm-hmm. But in country, it was different, you know? I didn't see myself in anybody else, you know?
Everybody's so covered up in country.
Yeah, especially like back then, I think. Mm-hmm. And then you have Beyonce that's up like just twerking and like going at it. And I just was like, oh my gosh, like there was something in me that I was like, well, maybe I can do that too. But I'm also singing country music. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I wrote. So when I moved to Nashville, I think everyone has their influences and people that they want to be like. And obviously I wanted to be the next Taylor Swift and I wanted to be Carrie Underwood, but turns out I don't have that. Carrie Underwood is like her voice.
She's a machine.
And those legs. Bro, I'm like, yes.
It's crazy. And she is so beautiful in person. We got to see her at the CMT Awards. I'm like, bro, it's crazy.
How breathtaking.
She is. Yeah.
Breathtaking. And
the way she carries herself. She's just all woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, as I was trying to figure out who I was in Nashville, you know, you realize no one wants another somebody.
Right.
They're already out there.
Yep.
And
that's what Jay and I are finding out in the country realm. Everybody's freaking out over us. And it's like, it's because
you're so different.
Right. They're like, what is this hussy and this drug dealer doing on the red carpet together?
But y'all are y'all.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And that's what I love about you guys. Yeah, like, no, y'all are just who you are. You don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of the same way.
No,
you know?
That's what we love about you too. Jay told me to tell you hello.
Oh, I love him. I love him. Wait, did he tell you that we cried when we met each other?
Yeah, he told me the whole story. Yeah.
Oh my God. He's so sweet. But he's just such a good, like, he's a great inspiration, you know, like coming from somebody that maybe didn't look the part or fit into this box. Like he's doing it. And that was,
I think that's why we love you so much too, because you're beautiful though.
Thank
like,
you
know, like you're so pretty and I love the confidence that you exude. Even if you don't feel confident, you're still portraying that to these little girls that look up to you online, and that means a lot.
Thank you. So when I stopped like really copying, to be honest, I think I was copying people because I thought that that's what you had to do to end up on the radio. But I'll never forget the day that I wrote Thick Thighs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the moment that everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Sarah Jones.
I love that Sarah is there for every
monumental occasion. Yes, I should have had her sitting right here. I'm just like, put a little bobblehead, Sarah Jones. Yeah. But so I went into the write that day and I was like, I am not writing another heartbreak song today. Like, can we write Thick Thighs or something?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an off the wall thing. And she was like, are you serious? And I'm like, oh, yeah, kind of, but, you know. And she was like, that's what we're writing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wrote that song, I remember I had sent it to my family. And they were like, this is it.
Aww.
And there was something freeing. Like, I felt like I finally said something that I hadn't heard before. It was me, like, you know, I had had so many people in meetings that told me that I needed to lose weight before making it and, you know, look different. And this was like my big old F you. Like, I am who I am.
You're
I'm a curvy
not even big,
girl,
by the way. Like, you're curvy, but you're not a big girl.
Well,
like,
you know,
when I met you, the first thing I said was, she's so fucking tiny.
Aw. small.
Like, literally, you have this big persona online, but then when you meet you, you're just like this tiny little package.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're a little fireball.
But I wrote it to anybody that ever made me feel like I needed to look a different way. And yeah. I'm glad that little girls can see that and see me and be like, you know what? I can be a singer, too. I can be a country singer. And I can wear the two-piece. Like, what the hell? Life is... wear it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And like, look good while doing it.
Well, I think it's just being able to give women and younger girls, like, that ballsiness to express themselves in whatever you're wearing and just own who you are. Like,
absolutely.
I'm so proud of that song, and I never knew that that was going to be such a big part of my story. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for it.
I love it. So moving on from that and your image, what are you doing now? You're like tour. You're always on tour. I feel like you're always in your tour bus getting ready.
Yes. Well, I just got the damn tour bus. Like,
I love that.
I was in the church van for a long time, and our band, we'd take off driving, you know, whoever's like the least tired, I guess, drives through the night.
Yeah, no, Jay and I used to have the fucking, the 18 passenger van that we had to tour in, and it was filled with fucking our whole crew would be in this van, and oh my God, it was terrible. Years of that. But when you finally get that first tour bus, it's like, holy shit, I've made it.
Oh yeah. The quality of life. I'm like, I don't know if I get more sleep or less sleep now, but very thankful for it.
Dude, our first tour bus was a nightmare though. Fucking, oh God, what was the tour bus guy's name? I forget, but we had this hashtag we started on him because literally we got woken up in the middle of the night. He was drunk, drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels with the ass end. Jay and I were sleeping in the back. The ass end is hitting the ground, just sparking, dude. Going the whole way home up these mountains. We got pulled over by cops. They pulled us all off the bus, fucking searched the bus, found drugs. It was a fucking thing.
Oh,
fuck Greg, that's his name.
Greg!
We were so
mad. Why'd you have to do this to us?
We were so mad at Greg, the fucking bus driver. But dude, we were so happy just to even have a tour bus. But
oh my God. Yeah, no, it's life changing.
Yeah, for sure. So you're on tour right now?
Yeah, so I'm on tour. When I signed my deal and the pandemic kind of like slowly started, you know, getting back to normal, I was like, I want to go out and start selling my own tickets. Mm-hmm. And I think that was also a scary thing for the whole team. You know, the whole team's like, well, maybe you should hop on a tour. And I was like, you know what? The fans are there.
Yeah.
And I think even Jay, I mean, he's been doing that since day one. And just building his hard tickets. And I think it's super important.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we went out. I did my first headlining tour. Welcome to the Block Party. I
love that.
And it was such a success. I decided to go back out in the fall and double our venue sizes. And we just did the spring break tour, and we're now tripling our venue sizes. And it's just crazy.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I love watching the journey. I think it's beautiful.
Thank you.
What's next for you? Like, what, you're just going to keep on rolling like a rolling stone?
Oh my gosh. Well, this year I am, I'm going on tour with Shania Twain.
Oh my girl. Goodness.
Wait, so can I ask you, did you get a squeeze in on her butt?
That fucking picture. I'm just going to say yes. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I did not touch her ass, but well, she was walking by and we tempting. Were so shook. We had like a fangirl moment. We were like, oh, hey, Shania. And they caught the picture, and
were
it just
like,
looks
hey.
Like I. Well, I was like trying to move because she was squeezing in through the seat. So I was like, oh, you know, like trying to be nice and put my hand out and move my leg, but it looked like I grabbed her ass.
It was very amazing.
Yeah,
I was really hoping that you did.
I would love to tell everybody that I did, but I don't want her coming for me. Being like, no, she did not grab my ass. But yeah, if anybody asks, yes, I grabbed her ass.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no. So we were. It was just a moment caught in time. But that's so awesome. Did she request you, or how did that work? Like, does she know who you are?
Well, like, I guess so. Yeah. I'm like, dang, like how'd she get my number? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really cool. She's bringing out like a bunch of new women on our tour. And I have 5 dates with her, which is super exciting. I mean, she's
very
been
cool.
Such a big inspiration for
me. Yeah. I mean, it's Shania.
Yeah, Shania.
I didn't really know much about Shania's story until I watched her documentary that she dropped. Mm-hmm. And dude, she edits her own videos, fucking like everything. It's crazy. Well, she's not anymore, but back in the day when she was, you know, really the Any Man of Mine video and like I think it's Out of Here video, she edited those herself. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy.
Well, and I think that's like also being that hands-on when you know, like,
you're
people like just it's almost like they believe it more.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because she, like, when you're in the studio, when you're writing it, and then you, I think when you write it, you have a vision of what the video could be. So, like, her even having her hands on it, I think is so cool and so genius.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? So, we're going out, Shania. I'm doing a lot of headlining dates. I'm going to be out with Old Dominion.
Oh, I love them.
And, yeah, and I am playing at Bridgestone for the first time.
Wow, when?
Crazy. Gosh, I don't know the date of it. December 15th.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
That's so cool. Jay's first time headlining Bridgestone was December 9th.
I was there. I was there. But yeah, I'm so excited. I mean, that's going to be full circle because I used to play at the bar outside.
Yes.
So, like, we are in the Bridgestone this time. Yeah. I'm really pumped for that. And I'm writing music, you know? I've been so busy.
Do we have an album dropping anytime soon? Or?
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
You know, I was planning on, like, we all plan out our life and our careers, right?
Oh, yeah,
and I thought that, like, I would be closer to my second album. But I do feel like I've been on the go so much that I really haven't, like, written my life right now.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like I have enough songs that I feel like are great.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some things that I just need to write.
Yeah.
You know, and write this time of life. And I think it's, for me, saying no is a very hard thing because I've wanted this for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm at a point where I'm going to have to start saying no and being like, all right, guys, I need to slow down a little bit so I can write my life.
Good luck. My husband still can't say no. He literally.
It's hard.
He's just started saying no for the past few months. But like before that, it was yes to everything. And I just got to a point with him where I was like, honey, you are going to wear yourself out.
Burn yourself out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you got to always make sure to take time for yourself, even though it's hard and you're in the fucking whole, you know, movement of it right now, the momentum. You got to, you know, take that deep breath and take that downtime because it's so important.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think that, like, we've seen so many people lose yourself in a lot of this. And I really try to, like, bring myself back down to earth.
I think you're, like, very level-headed and very down to earth. You remind me of, like, Gretchen Wilson, Dolly Parton, and, like, one other, like, female artist just kind of all mixed together.
Thank you.
Because you have the sassiness and the style of, like, Gretchen Wilson where she didn't care. She was going to wear the short shorts and, you know, she's a redneck woman. But you have, like, the classiness of Dolly. Like, I love that.
Aww.
So tell everybody where they can find you, like TikTok,
You know, all
your social medias,
all things Priscilla Block.
There you go. Just Google Priscilla.
I don't think that there's another Priscilla Block out there. Maybe there is. Hey, if there is, hey girl. Yes.
An OnlyFans? Do we have an OnlyFans?
No OnlyFans, but I got a fans only link on my page.
I love it.
Yeah. My management was like, wait, I'm like, it's clickbait, baby.
Yeah.
I bet you know, maybe start an OnlyFans. Who knows?
You can do it with your clothes on.
Yeah.
You don't have, like, to take your clothes off.
Hey, anything to pay the bills, I'm all about.
She's
Let's
go. $1 make you holla. Let's go, baby.
But yes,
So any little girls that are watching, sorry, go ahead, Priscilla, I cut you off. So anywhere Priscilla Block?
Anywhere Priscilla Block, yeah.
I love that. So any little girls that are watching this, that want to become, you know, an artist or in the industry, what are some words of advice that you have for them?
You know, I would just go back to a lot of the things that I've heard from people, and that's do not let anyone change who you are. And also things that I've learned by my own mistakes and learning experiences, don't try to be anything that you're not, because that doesn't work. And stay true to you and
kick some ass.
Yeah, kick some ass, baby.
I love it. Priscilla, thank you so much for coming on the
podcast. Thank you for having me. I'm such a fan, and I'm so proud of everything that you're doing, and I really think that you are a light to so many men and women out there. So
well, I've been a light to a lot of men in my life.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding. Hey.
We had to fit it in right before it was done.
Always,
yeah, girl.
Always.
I
kept
you.
It actually pretty clean with you today.
Yes. Well, I love you so much.
I love you, too. And I can't wait to have you back on. And Jay and I are rooting for you. I just want you to know that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. We will see you guys next week. Bye.
Yay! Dude, I'm sweating. Like, my legs are sweating.